name is Vern Wieland. I'm interviewing my dad, Fred Wieland. This is July 24th, 1990. And my dad was born April 16th, 1901. Okay. Tell about that funeral, and then was a below wash. You can talk German if you wanted to.
I couldn't say nothing about the funeral. What shall I say?
Well, the guy died, and the name of the guy, and then how he...
Gotthilf Albrecht. I mean, Gottlieb Albrecht. He carried some corn with a bundle rope tied around, and he slipped and fell backwards. That was my second cousin. And then he stayed at home, went to bed for a while and felt good. And then he woke, the next day woke up, and then it got worse. And then his dad was going to take him to the hospital. And he couldn't there. He died on the way to the hospital. Then he brought him back dead. And when they had a funeral out there, the old country, there was no horse. You had to walk as far as 2 miles sometimes. You had to walk. Carried the funeral, and so my dad was a carrier, a casket carrier, and I always walked on that side where my dad was. I thought that was so nice that he helped carry that casket, and that's all that it is.
How about the time you got lost, Grandpa?
Oh, that was in the forenoon. And I always walked and I saw the flour mill, it was fog. And I thought I was walking towards the flour mill. And the flour mill disappeared, I walked the other way. I was so twisted. And then I found a street going downtown. And I walked down, when I came down, then it was not our street. It was a strange street. And then there was a lady there that knew me. And then he said to her son, Gottlieb, go over to this boy. He's lost. Take him home. And he took me home. And the worst thing is, when you walk out there, the dogs, every house had 2 dogs and sometimes 3. And then come on with do anything to you if you didn't have a stick. And that was everybody else. Had 2 dogs for sure and some had 3. And that's what I was most scared of. And then he had a stick, that boy. And the dog was scared of a stick, see? And they backed up.
How big, what kind of dogs were they? How big were they, or what kind of dogs were they?
It was just common dogs, like here, the common dogs. Some were big and some were little. And the little one made the most noise.
You mentioned the mill. What businesses do you remember in your town, Friedenstahl? What businesses did you have there?
Yeah, a grocery store and 2 blacksmiths. Blacksmith shop. That's all the business I know. You couldn't buy no clothing. The tailor was there. He made all the men clothing. And the women mostly made their own clothing. They get a little help from a neighbor lady and they made their own clothing. And the men, there's a tailor there. And he made the clothing for men. I remember one when we went to the United States, he came up in our house and measured us all up, how tall and how wide, everything. He wrote it down. And my mother made the material for black sheep clothing, cloth, a weaving business she had. Most of the women could weave and spin their own wool to knit stockings, socks, mittens. It's all knitted from your own sheep. You could color them red or blue, what you want, the mittens. And the clothing was nice material. And then he made us suits, coats, and pants for the trip to the United States.
So you had new clothing when you left?
Yeah.
Now you mentioned many times that you went to the Russian school.
Well, that wasn't the same school. It was a half day was Russian teacher, and the next half was German teacher. You didn't go to a Russian school. We had our own Russian teacher, and he could talk German, otherwise he couldn't get along with us.
What were some, when your mother cooked over in Russia, what were some of the main dishes that she cooked? Do you remember in Sox and Dice?
Knipfle and sauerkraut. Strudel.
That was the same there than it was here.
That was the most favorite food he ate out there. Sauerkraut, they made their own. They had a 50 gallon barrel and a 30 gallon barrel of sauerkraut. I know that a man came to cut it. I was in the barrel to walk it down. My feet washed it. And then they start to water, and then the water came on top. And they left it standing up with sauerkraut. That was at least a 50 gallon barrel. And a smaller one maybe at 30.
How much sauerkraut do you think you made in a year?
Well, I just said.
Oh, those two barrels, that's how much you made.
Yeah. Then the season for kraut was out, then we had to get new kraut. And we bought this all. And the ground cabbage and the garden, the man that raised that cabbage. The man that raised it, you could buy it cheaper than you could raise it.
Oh, you never raised it yourself then?
No.
Oh.
And they were great big hits.
The boys in those Russian days, what did the boys do for fun and the girls?
Well, the girls, I don't know. They played sometimes a whole bunch. They had a ring around the roses, and the boys had a ball game, and they played some kind of a game with a knife. They had, and the middlemen, they called it hell. It was a hole, and then around that hole, there were little holes. And then you had to turn it, send up your knife, and when it was the right kind, then you could get out of that ring and go around that and move to another place. And then they played a game a lot. I think the girls played that too, with stones. Oh, stones, little stones. I said, they were not very big. And they send the stone up and cut the one below and catch that one. The Americans knew something about that, but I forgot the name. On German, we call it Babelstein. Then they said two on a place, and then and three, and then you throw the stone up and pick up them two and catch the stone. If you lose the stone, then it was the next person's turn. That's the way we played. And we could play that all day. We could play that in the house and outside.
Did the boys have a lot of work like your older brothers? Did they work out or?
Oh, they were too little to work out. Oh, little. I worked out already. Just driving horses. They had two horses in front of each other on a machine. And they had four horses on. And the front horse is a girl lit to cut grain. And the back two horses, I sat on a seat and just hold the back horses on line alongside so the front horses wouldn't get off balance. And they help sometimes hold a load of grain and go up and stack it for them, walk down.
Did they have jails or something like that? What did you do with the people who committed a crime?
Well, they were convicted like anywhere else. They had a jail. They had a jail in our town, ordered to keep them there for the judge. And they took them to a different town for the judge. And they had jails there. They had orphans' home, old people's home. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the poorhouse, right?
Well, it was something like it. But they had only three people, jury. Three people. They judged the whole thing. Three persons. That was my grandfather. He was a lot picked for that. See, they picked one from this dorf, this town. And one from the other, from each town, the picked one. The town was in the territory that was involved in that.
What did your grandpa do? What did your grandpa do?
My grandma was a farmer, but he was dead. I never learned to know him.
Well, he never learned to know him.
My mother's grandma, I learned to know, but my father's.
Neither one?
He was a farmer.
No, no, I mean you never got to know your dad's folks at all?
The mother, I know she was still alive and went to the United States.
Oh.
Grandma, my dad's mother.
But your mother's parents, you knew both of them. What were they? Were they farmers too?
They were farmers, yeah. They were all farmers. They lived in town, and when they were told they were tired, they just stayed in town.
Oh, I see. I see.
My grandmother, she lived right across, oh, I'd say about 40 feet from our house. She lived in her house.
How many acres do you think the average farmer farmed at that time? Any idea?
About 100 acres my dad had. And that was corn. Was a very main dish in this season, some barley and wheat.
Did you have such a thing as sweet corn there?
They eat the ordinary corn. They eat.
Oh, they eat the ordinary corn. What were some of the local buildings that you had?
Van der Waals buildings, they were built clay. They were made square like cement blocks. And they built that, their houses with that. And then they plastered it outside and inside with clay. And that was clay, the rain wouldn't wash that away so easy. And then they put upstairs a frame. And they got some roller, they called it. They were up to 10 feet long. And they tied them in bundles and laid them lengthways on the roof. One deck of roller. And then the second deck, they laid right on that crack, see? And then they sewed them down. They had a long needle about 3 feet long. And that was the end. And they had ropes that were tar treated, they wouldn't rot. And one was up in the upstairs, and the other one was on the roof. And he pushed that down, and then from the upstairs they pushed it out again. The roars were sewed together. They were in bundles, I'd say about a foot a diameter. That big bundles.
That, I see.
And it did not rain yet.
Okay. Did you have any other buildings in, other than the grocery store and the blacksmith shops? Did you have anybody else?
Did they have no other business? The blacksmith shop made wagons and overhauled the wagon for you. And that's all you need. And then the tailor was there to make men's clothes. And the women met their own, because they were all natural cloth makers, and they even weaved their own clothing.
Do you ever remember, or did you hear your dad talk about moving from Germany into Bessarabia?
He could not remember anything.
You had lived in Germany before you moved to Russia, correct?
Well, I don't think they were. Because my mother said she still knew her grandfather that moved over to Russia with a dog team. And then my mother's father was his biggest boy that moved with him to Russia. And he made some kind of a sled stone boat and hitched four dogs to it. And he walked all the way and took a little belongings along. And he had a wife already and I guess a kid. Maybe it was my mother's dad or my grandfather. And the man was so old that he was childish completely. And then there was boys, they had fun throwing rocks at that old man. She can still remember that. And then he always thought God was hitting them. And then he always says, oh good, strafe mich that so schwer. Oh, there's those kids throw rocks in this park. And then my mother went and told her, her father, that he came out a boy's foot, and he was a guy like Nignino Power, my mother's dad. You can see the pictures at home. I was going to take it along and I forgot. That's all I is left from our mother's past. The place where my father Manuel got them all and he destroyed them.
And they're upstairs in that one closet, those pictures.
When you go upstairs, at that closet.
Yeah.
Emmanuel had two pictures. They were around, they paid $25 for the frame. And he had him standing up there when he remodeled his house. He had him standing up there. They built that in between the house. In between the walls of the house.
They put those pictures in between the walls?
He forgot to take them out and the curtain was closed up. And then it was in there. He was always down, picked what he wanted to see.
Okay. So that's still in the house today?
In Manuel's house.
Yeah, Manuel's house. Huh. Well, about what year did you move to Russia? That do you have an idea of what year you moved to Russia?
I couldn't answer that because I don't know. My father told me once he was 8 years old when they moved at the place of Friedrichstadt. He was 8 years old, but he lived in Russia, some other place. I guess he did not come direct from Germany, like my mother's father. See, he was much older. That was my mother's grandfather that moved over with the dog team. See, that's much older than my grandfather. That was my great grandfather.
Yeah. He was 8 years old, huh?
That's what my father claimed. They had a Turkish war. If you remember the year in our history, you started the Russian-Turkish war.
Yeah.
They had that, and they was already ready to move. They thought the Russians were going to lose. They heard already the cannons shoot. And then the Russians reinforced the army. Because they have plenty men. They put fresh troops on them, they chased the Turk. Then where we lived, that was Turkeyland. The Russ took that away from the Turk.
Bessarabia.
Yeah. And then he come with a new bunch of Cossacks. And when they come, the Cossacks, it was just like the devil itself was coming. They had long spears and they had just run into a man and throw him over the air behind him and he was dead. The spear went right through when he came up. They had some kind of attachment on their saddle. Those Cossacks. And they were always hanging on the side of the horse. They couldn't even see him if they come close. See, he won every war, the rush, at his Cossacks. They had some ditches. Or they couldn't stop their horses for nothing. And they were aiming for you. They were cutting you down with the legs and they'd bite you. That's the way they were trained. See, that's why the rush got so big. He won all the wars. And when the machine gun comes, then the rush was done. See, with the Cossacks. They had everything killed before they were close. And the Germans were the first ones that had machine guns. And the Russians still coming with a great big fresh Cossacks. And they had a few machine guns and they mowed them down. And the Rush quit with the Cossacks. See, it's easy to understand. And a horse is mean towards you. That can chop you down in seconds.
Oh, yeah.
And they were trained for that. And they had saddles. Maybe the saddle was not like ours. And they had that great big spear and was put on the saddle and all it did is balance it up. See? And then they're going to come over and release on the other end, but the spear was through him. He was dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Cossacks still went down.
They were on horses, obviously, right?
They were on horses. They had so many horses, Rush. Wild horses. Then they caught them, and they had guys, real good, tough guys, that trained those horses, too. They weren't scared from falling off a horse. They never fall off a horse. It's just like they jump by themselves. See, you fall off a horse, you fall down. And when the Cossacks feel that it's going to fall, they throw themselves off by itself. Ooh, they were a vicious fighter. But my dad said, but they're all out. Those machine guns cut that out. They can't do nothing anymore. Probably never heard that story, but that's the way the Russian fought and won so much land. All the Bessarabian, that's one of the best piece of land, and the Rush wanted that. And he got it.
And still has it today. Because Turkey lost that World War I, and so Russia just kept that.
Yeah. They didn't lose it. They gave it away. They gave it to the Romanians. Our country was there where my grandfather lived. That belonged to Romanians 7 years. And then when the time was out, the Russians come and took it. The Romanians had to go. And all those Germans moved into Germany. Then Hitler took all those Germans. And see, he didn't lose that, the Rush. That was some kind of a contract with the Romanian government. And when the Romanian was going to make themselves stiff, and the Rush after World War I had a much better army than they ever had. They learned a lot, see?
Yeah.
And then Romania was a little land, and it didn't have anything. Then they were scared they'd lose all of it. Then they freely gave it back to Russians again. It was just some kind of a contract. They never lost that land. And then the Poles, that was the strong, that was the strongest in the army. And they had the Russians driven back up to Moscow. And then they went all in for shelter, the Russian soldiers. And then we had ice and sleet that night. It rained and sleet. And the Poles were all lined up outside on wait for the morning. He was going to take Moscow in the morning, and they would have done it. And then, in the morning, the Russians saw the Poles stand out there, see? And they would start shooting, and no shots came back. And then the Russians went down to make sand. Then all of the Polish army was standing froze, dead, froze to the ground. And that ice and sleet, and they held their gun there with that. And the Russians just pushed them off. And then they took the whole Polish. Germans got a few, the Poles, and the Russians took most of it. Poland.
Now what, when was that now when they took, when the Russians took all of Poland?
And what?
When was that when they took all of Poland?
When they had a war, the Polish government was going to be the king of the earth, he said. And if they wouldn't have froze, he would have. Polish was a very strong country at that time, and very tough and good equipped in fighting. But their whole army was froze. I don't know the year. You learn all history in books, but I know my folks talked a lot, and we had a book too. When he gave the German Kaiser.
Were you still in Russia when that happened?
Huh?
Were you still in Russia when that happened?
No, I wasn't even born.
Oh, you weren't even born. Oh, okay.
And when the Polish king gave up his sword, He had a book from that. And he gave it to the German Kaiser. That was a sword. He just spear you to death with one punch. And he turned it around and gave the handle to the German Kaiser. See? And he was done.
Yeah.
And then Germany got a piece of Poland, and I think Finland got a piece. Then there was no Poland anymore till that First World War. And the Polish started coming again and wanted a piece of land. And the Russians and the Germans killed. Yeah, that was quite interesting. That they were way down in Moscow already. And then the Russians all were in shelter when it rained. And the Poles were standing outside. It was going to take the city in the morning. And they were all froze to death. They found even a man and a woman and two horses were standing. He walked up there, was going to see us. That team of horses, they were on froze, they were froze to the ground.